The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. Making the CPA exam more exciting than it should be. This is CPA Reviewed, the podcast of another71.com. This is Friday, November 4th, 2011. I am your host, Jeff Elliott. Welcome, everyone. And hey, the AICPA said that the October scores from October 1st through the 20th for exams taken during that period would appear on November 3rd, and sure enough, they were good to their word. So, yeah, a bunch of scores came out for all four sections, so it was pretty... Actually, I was kind of surprised that they just released them like that, but it kind of makes you wonder why it didn't happen like that sooner, but hey, we'll take what we can get. All right, so... I actually had to miss last week's show, and I can tell you are all affected by it and missed me. I was going to say that no one emailed me, but actually that's not true. I think a couple of people said, hey, where's the podcast? So to those two people who listen to this podcast, I appreciate it. All right, so we have a lot of questions today because I didn't answer questions last week. I can't even remember why, but... here I am today. First question is from Lisa. I've taken audit three times and I've scored 74, 69, and 73. Every time on my score report, I get a stronger for multiple choice and a weaker for simulations, which is normal actually. And I was wondering if you had any advice for the simulations part of the audit exam. I purchased the Wiley test bank. Any advice would be appreciated. Yeah, this is pretty common. People score stronger on the multiple choice, but they're weaker on their simulations and they're coming up, like in your case, 1 point short, then you scored the 69, then 2 points short. Man, simulations are tough because you can know the content, you can know the key concepts that they're asking, but not know how to answer them as part of the simulation because they ask the questions differently. And sometimes it's hard to figure out what in the world they're actually asking. Keep this in mind. If you run into a tab on the simulation that's just giving you fits, keep in mind that it might be a pretest tab. So keep that in mind. And also, so how can you do better on simulations? Well, that's tough. One way would be to practice the simulation software and the Wiley test bank, which you said you purchased. Another way is to, I know that people take advantage of the research component that's on there. So if you can search for some keywords in the research component and maybe find the answer that way, I know people do that. I never did that because I never had enough time, but I think the key is just to remain strong on a conceptual level, and just like you are for your multiple choice, and don't freak out if you get a crazy tab because it might be pretest, but then also keep practicing some simulations. Don't practice every single simulation, but be comfortable enough with them in a practice environment to where on exam day, maybe you get those extra 2 points that you're looking for. And always make sure that you visit cpa-exam.org and practice their simulation ahead of time. That way you're not trying to navigate that on exam day when you haven't even looked at it for the last 2 or 3 months and you're trying to figure out how in the world to get your research question to stick once you copy it. Yvonne asks, I'm struggling with financial accounting and reporting. I passed audit with a 77 over the summer, and now I'm studying for financial. I have my exam scheduled for November 15th, but I'm not scoring high enough on my diagnostics. Should I postpone and study for reg instead? I took regulation earlier this year and scored a 70. I obtained the Wiley Problems and Solutions book because it seems to explain concepts that are hard to grasp. My confidence is fading, and it's affecting my ability to concentrate. All right. You're struggling with financial. You have your exam scheduled November 15th. Should you reschedule? Should you postpone and study for reg instead? No. You might want to reschedule your financial exam for later in the month. They might charge you a fee, and I think they will. But if you're not scoring high enough on your diagnostics, my question is why? Because if you're using a good review course and taking notes and then practicing questions, if you have that solid foundation, it is normal to score lower initially. But as you do more multiple choice questions, you should be scoring better. So your first set of 20, you might maybe score a 50. Your second set of 20 questions over, let's say, bonds, you might score a 60. Your third set, you've been doing these questions, reading the answers, reading why one answer is correct and why the other three are incorrect. So by that third mini testlet, you're scoring in the 70s or 80s. And that's how it should be. If you're not, then that means that there's a deficiency in your review process, and either you're not using your review course correctly, or you're not using a good course or the right course for you that matches your learning style. So that's very important. Manny writes, I just need to pass audit. This is my third attempt, and I've scheduled to take it on the 13th of November. On previous exams, my scores were 60 and 64. On both, I was weak in simulations. On both exams, I was weak in simulations. How much time do you recommend to spend on simulations? I remember last time I didn't have time to answer one tab. So they ran out of time on the exam. Does time determine the scoring process? No. Basically, you start with 0 points, and whatever you get right, that adds to your score. So I think your problem is that when you're working through the three testlets for multiple choice, you're probably getting bogged down on some questions and you're overanalyzing or over-obsessing over a few questions in each testlet because you're not getting the answer to come out and you're sitting there glaring at the question for 5 minutes. Well, then you're shortchanging your simulation. So it's very important to, if you get stuck, move on. Abe writes, I'm scheduled to take my final exam, regulation, at the end of November. Since this is my last section and I don't have anything left to study, should I assume I failed and keep studying while waiting for my score, or be optimistic and assume I passed? I have a wife and kid and would like to avoid 3 weeks of unnecessary studying. Your input is appreciated. I would not study. I would assume that you've passed, and then if you have to come back to it, you have to come back to it. Because even if you fail, you're going to have to start over your review course or your review process, because if you skip around and try to pick out your weak points and then jump back in there, you're likely going to not be as strong on the sections that you were strong on before. And then you might even score even worse. So I would just take the time off, enjoy the time off. And if you have to come back to it, you do. But I would assume that you passed. Anonymous writes, aside from the difference of being able to sign on financial statements, are there any other differences in the CPA license with a general designation versus an attestation experience designation? Does the general have less clout or respect than the attestation license? I work in private industry, and I'm not sure how I would go from a general to an attestation license within private industry without any public attestation experience. The short answer to your question is I wouldn't worry about it. unless you're going to go work in public accounting, that's not even an issue for you. And I am a licensed CPA, but I did not have attestation experience. And so I'm assuming that means that I can't go sign an audit report. That's probably something I should know, but I have no interest in doing auditing. So I haven't even looked into it. The best answer to your question is call your state board, because your state board is what will determine that. And you are licensed by your state. And so different states have different language, different verbiage, different requirements. So call your state board. But I wouldn't even worry about it unless you jump into public accounting. And then even then, what if you're just doing tax stuff? You know, you're not signing audit reports, or you're not on attestation engagements. I wouldn't even worry about it. So G writes, I have a question about how to schedule the exam in this window. I failed auditing twice. Do you think I should retake auditing or BEC this window? I passed BEC but lost credit because of the 18-month window. I'm struggling with which one to take first. In addition, do you think BEC and auditing will change a lot? Well, I will answer the last part first. I don't think BEC or auditing will change very much at all for 2012. I think you can still probably get by using your 2011 materials. Now, all right. It's early November. You need to take an exam at the end of November. And you have the Thanksgiving holiday to work around also. So in the best interest of time, BEC would be the one to take. Now, BEC normally takes less time to study, but it's still equally as hard as auditing, so don't get me wrong there. But given the time constraints, and also, hey, you've already passed BEC before, so that's something in BEC's favor, I would take BEC and I would schedule it ASAP. Meryl writes, do you have any tips for studying on your way to and from work? I commute anywhere between 1 to 2 hours a day. And I was wondering if there's any way I could study while driving. Yeah, there are some of the review courses have like audio products. You can do that, but I'm not a fan of driving and studying, because I think you'll find yourself spacing out and then, oh man, I totally ignored that lecture over, or that key point over price elasticity of demand. And I've got to back up and I have to look down and hit rewind on my iPod. And that's tough. One thing you could do is take your iPhone or something, or a voice recorder, and like let's say you have some notes that you've taken. Read those notes to yourself, recording it, and then just listen to it over and over and over and over. That's a good idea. Or that's one idea of way that you can study. Of course, you could answer Wiley Test Bank questions on your iPhone because it's internet-based while you drive, but that's probably not the most legal or safe solution. So that was a joke. Don't do that. Tony writes, I'm taking auditing for the third time. I've scored 55 and 73 in the past. Before the last attempt, I went over 5,500 multiple choice questions. That is a lot. I've taken your advice from previous podcasts and started from the beginning by watching the videos and reading the book. When I began the multiple choice questions for the current exam, I found myself missing questions that I know the answers to. I believe I'm not taking the time to read the questions and I'm just skipping over them. with just over a month before exam day, I want to correct. So this is an older question. I want to correct my habits and pass my last exam. Any advice you could provide would be great. Well, I know what it's like to say, oh man, my exam is coming up. I just need to work faster. And that's not the case. You need to work at a nice clip, but still soak in the information. So stopping and rewriting your notes takes some time, but you're soaking in the information. I don't know. It's kind of like grilling. You can brush the steak with some sauce and throw it on the grill, or you can toss it in a bag with some marinade overnight and let it absorb the meat, absorb the marinade. I think this analogy is not going as anticipated. But anyway, slow it down and do it right versus skimming. And I mean, it's not like you're in crisis mode where your exam is in 2 hours and you're just like clicking, 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 clicking over answers because you, oops, forgot to study auditing in an IT environment. So slow down, do the question, like do fewer questions the right way, then more questions, just rapid fire. Matt writes, I'm finishing up my accounting degree and the school I attend offers an accounting master's program. I understand that I would be much more prepared to take the CPA exam after the master's program, but I'm ill prepared to start taking the exam right after I grad. But am I ill prepared to start taking the exam right after I graduate with the bachelor's? I will have the necessary 150 credits to graduate with my bachelor's degree. I do not agree with the premise that you are more prepared to take the CPA exam after a master's program. Unless that master's program is geared towards the CPA exam, and in which case they likely use CPA review materials. But I don't think that most of them are like that. And studying for the CPA exam, like it's a very focused type of studying versus a master's in accounting. It's pretty broad. If you complete your master's degree, you're still going to have to go through a CPA review course. So I think you're just as prepared today with your 150 hours after your bachelor's degree because you pick up your review course and then you study for purposes of passing the CPA exam. So if I were graduating today and I had my 150 hours, I would not do a master's of accounting program. I wouldn't. But that's me. Aaron writes, I know that this question varies for each, but I wanted your opinion. I work 6 days a week from 9 to 5. I'm married with one child. How much time should I give myself to study for each part of the test? If I'm planning to study 3 or 4 hours a day, most likely 3 hours a day. All right. Well, 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday, that's 15 hours. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I think you need to study 5 more hours. So however you want to do it, 5 hours on Saturday, no hours on Sunday, 3 hours Saturday, 2 hours Sunday. I think you need to study 20 hours. That's an arbitrary number, but it's what I recommend. And so for financial accounting and reporting, you want to study 6 to 8 weeks at 20 hours a week. So between 120 to 140 hours. And again, some people study more, some people will study less. These are just guidelines. So if you are studying 20 hours a week, you can expect to spend upwards of 130 hours when it's all said and done. Because if your review course has like 50 hours of financial videos, and then you spend a couple weeks doing multiple choice questions and rewriting your notes, and then maybe you watch a cram video and your final review phase, and you're doing more multiple choice and reading notes and all that, you can expect to spend about 130 hours. So I'm not saying, hey, study 130 hours, go in there, take the exam. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, backing into it, when it's all said and done, you will probably spend about that much. But there is no magic number. But reality says that's about how much you'll spend. So auditing, 20 hours a week, maybe study 5 to 7 weeks. Regulation, 5 to 7 weeks. So 120 hours maybe. BEC, maybe a little less. So maybe 4 to 6 weeks. So 100 hours. Those are just, so again, financial 130, reg or auditing 120, reg 120, BEC 100. Some people study less, some people study more. And if you study 20 hours a week, that's about what you can expect. So whatever review course you're using, look and see how long the actual videos are, and then do the math. Good question. Steven writes, do you know when Wiley is coming out with a test bank app for Android? It's already out. So I'm not an Android person. I'm an iPhone person. So I don't know anything about how to do an Android app, but wherever you buy those, you can get one from Wiley. Lindsay writes, what changes can I expect in the 2012 versions of regulation and financial accounting and reporting? For the most part, nothing is going to change. They're not adding more content to the exam. The only thing that you have to look out for is some accounting pronouncements. And then once they are implemented within 6 months of implementation. So for instance, in July 2011, there was an accounting pronouncement that dealt with accounting qualities that superseded the previous one, and it kind of changed some things around. Well, July exams, people needed to know that new information. So whatever review course you use, they should keep you updated on what changes are taking place throughout the year. And some courses even give you free 2012 updates if you already bought their 2011 course. Denise writes, do you know specifics about how the test is scored? For example, are some questions worth less than 1 point, more than 1 point, etc.? The AICPA does not give that type of information. They use psychometricians to score the exam. Basically, your exam starts out on medium, and then if you do well, your exam shifts into hard. They use adaptive testing, and the hard questions are worth more than the medium questions, and that's all they tell you. Really, the only thing I can tell you is that some questions are worth zero because they're pretest. At the end of the day, I would not worry about how the scores or how many points each question is worth. You will never know that. There's no way of knowing that. Only just to do your best on the exam. But I hope that at least somewhat answers your question. Olga writes, I got my notice to schedule in the last 2 weeks, and I scheduled my review classes starting in January. When I filed my application with the board, I only paid for financial accounting and reporting, which would be the first class I take. Do you suggest that I pay for the other three exams? I know you save money by paying for them all together, but saving money for me isn't an issue. I do plan on studying a minimum of 20 to 25 hours a week, and knowing myself, I will go beyond those hours. I'm nervous about losing all that money in case something comes up, like a family emergency. I was also looking at testing availability for auditing in April in my area, and only saw 4 to 5 days left. Is that really possible? Is it possible that all those dates are booked 6 months in advance? All right, for your first question, I would only pay for a notice of schedule for the section that you plan on taking. Back when I took the exam, and they have since changed this, but I learned the hard way. I thought, you know, I'm going to save some money. So I'm going to pay for all four exams at once. Well, back in the day, NASBA had this little quirk where if you took an exam, let's say financial accounting and reporting, which was the case for me, and you fail, but you had other exam sections live on your notice of schedule, you had paid for them, you couldn't take a failed section until you had taken the other sections you had already paid for. So I couldn't take financial again until I had taken every other exam. They've since changed that, but they're like, hey, sorry, nothing we can do about it. Great. So I would only pay for financial and then wait. Then, you know, scores are coming out so quickly now. I would wait and see what happens with financial. Now, as far as your exam testing or your Prometric site only having 4 to 5 days left in April, I cannot believe that they will not open up more seats. Don't even think about April right now. Focus on financial. When you get your grade back, then you know what you need to do. And don't even sweat that. David writes, what is the best way to tackle financial accounting and reporting? I really don't know which review course to use. What do you recommend? Well, all right. Financial accounting and reporting is a tough subject. That's not necessarily breaking news. You want to use a course that matches your learning style and fits your budget, and also has instructors that you're willing to spend 40 to 50 hours with at all hours of the day. So some review courses have instructors that drive people up the wall. Some people love those instructors. And I just see the comments on the forum. There are people who maybe can't stand the sound of my voice. But that's okay. It's the one God gave me, and I do the best with it. Or maybe I say things during this podcast, like I say little cliches, or maybe I smack my lips, or maybe I have little crutch words that I go to, like so and stuff. Maybe I read the questions too fast. Maybe I stutter. All that to say is that review course instructors, when they're in front of a camera, that stuff just comes out. I mean, it's impossible to be perfect. And so if you're going to nitpick an instructor, that's not really fair to them. If you're going to nitpick me, that's fine. Good thing this thing is free, right? for the two people that listen to this thing. So back to my first point. What course matches your learning style? Do you like watching an instructor that is in front of a dry erase board and works questions out on the board? Or do you prefer PowerPoint style with voiceover? If you like PowerPoint style with voiceover, don't buy a course that has an instructor and stand in front of it. If you hate PowerPoint, then you need to, then don't buy a PowerPoint style course. And secondly, does it match your budget? You don't have to break the bank to pass the CPA exam, okay? I know people who pass using a Wiley book, Wiley software, and some Ninja notes. Is that recommended? Not necessarily. Should you use a review course? Yeah, probably. I would. And it's a more efficient use of your time. It's not necessarily more effective, but it's more efficient to use some auditing language. Finally, the instructor. So I guess the first and third points, your learning style and the instructor, you need to watch the demos. So if you're going to tackle financial accounting and reporting, before you buy a review course, watch their financial accounting and reporting demos. And also find out about the refund policy. Let's say you get this thing at home and you cannot stand what's going on. Can you send it back? Probably not, but find that out. So you know the mainstream courses out there. Google it, watch their demos, and make a smart choice for you. And that's my answer. Benny writes, my question is about auditing. There are some rules and requirements have been changed. Have online exam questions been updated or changed? Well, I would think that if you use online software, that's the great thing about buying an online software is that they can just update the questions versus having to buy some disc and then maybe buy a new patch for it, maybe download an updated patch. So hopefully they have updated the questions. If not, email the vendor hey. Ben writes, I've been studying to take regulation at the end of November, but work is really busy right now, and I've decided to push it off until January 2012. I've been studying using from 2011 software. Do I need to study with new software, or will that suffice? I think that software will suffice. Is it the best option? No. It's always good to study with updated stuff, but if you use the Wiley Online Test Bank that you buy for me, I only sell the one-year pins. Wiley also sells four-month pins, but I only sell the one-year pins because, what if you don't pass, and the price is pretty negligible between the two. If you have the Wiley online test bank that you buy from me, it updates for 2012. Final question. Joe writes, I just received my audit score, 74. I was wondering if you knew how to get the score reviewed and if it's even worth doing. This question comes up every testing window. And let me put it this way. I've never heard of someone who has appealed their score or asked for a review and had a failing score turn into a passing score. It just doesn't happen. By the time you get your results back, you could have already taken another exam and gotten that new score back. So don't waste your time on a 74. Joe, I know what a 74 feels like. I liked it so much, I scored it twice on regulation. And my second 74 on regulation cost me my financial accounting and reporting credit. It makes you want to throw your laptop through the window, all right? Of course, back then I wasn't using a MacBook Pro. And so it was this old Windows-based laptop. And so I would have thrown that through the wall, but I would never throw my MacBook through a wall. But okay, that was a joke. All right, so thanks, everyone. Thank you for your questions. Keep sending them to me, another71.com. In the upper right-hand corner, click Ask Jeff, or you can ask me a question on Facebook, facebook.com/another71. And appreciate you listening. And I will talk to you soon.